We're going to continue now, based on what the Rav has said, that there are two dimensions to the mitzvah of tzitzis. There's the Chovas Gavra, which generates a Maisa mitzvah specified, a Maisa Levisha. There's also the second dimension, the Chovas Cheftza, the Chiv clapping the talus itself to equip it with tzitzis, once the Gavra wears the Beged. In the light of this Chiddush, we're now ready to approach the sheet of Rabbi Nutam with regard to Kalayim B'tzitzis. Keep in mind, as we've discussed earlier, Rabbi Nutam holds Lahalacha that Kalayim B'tzitzis is Hutar and not Hudach. It's not a din of Hutchu, it's a din of Hutru. And therefore, even if there's no mitzvah, you still apply the principle of the Heter Kalayim B'tzitzis. And the Rav says that this makes no sense at first glance. Whether you say hutru or hutchu, it makes no difference. If it's shelo b'makom mitzvah, even if you'll apply the principle of hutru, we could always ask the question, what's the matir? Instead of asking what's the docha, ask what's the matir. The matir always has to be built, always has to be predicated on mitzvah tzitzis. And in a situation where there's no mitzvah tzitzis, there's no matir. What could be mafkia? What could be matir and iser if there's no mitzvah? Even if you say hutra. So for example, in the case of yibum, you have an eishes ach that falls for yibum. And the Torah commands the yavam to be miyabim, the wife of his late brother. So for sure, that's halach of hutar, of hutra. Nobody could doubt that. And yet, supposing there were no mitzvah of yibum in this case, then for sure he'd be chayv kares for Baal Eishes Achiv. Without the mitzvah, there's no possibility of saying hutra. Or for example, in Karbonos on Shabbos, Ola Shabbos b'Shabbato, of course the avoda on Shabbos is hutra. The Gemara says it explicitly in Yuma Mem Vavam and Beis. And nevertheless, supposing a zar would do that avoda, he's not a kohen for sure, there's no mitzvah, and for sure there's no heter to the Isur Malach on Shabbos. There is a sheet of Bar Kapora that Zar Sheshimesh B'Shabbos Potur, but that's for a whole different reason. That's because of Ein Iser Chal Iser. In other words, he's not Chayef for Shabbos because he's already Osir in this very same action, Midin Zar. And that's what the Gemara says in Yevamos on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. B'maikom miflegi be'iser kolel v'alibed Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Chia savar Rabbi Yosi be'iser kol mechayev. Tarti bar kapor savar lo mechayev el echado. So that's a local debate that revolves around iser chal iser be'iser kolel. But fundamentally, everybody agrees kli amalo plegi that there is a violation of Shabbos, of Melech Shabbos, through this avoda that's being implemented by a zar. There's no mitzvah, there's no hutra. Again, the whole difference between hutra and hutcha expresses itself in one important but one detail. And that is that if we say the Isur is hutar, that we don't have to look around and see if there's another possibility of achieving our goal of a mitzvah without violating the law, which is called Efshel Kaim Shnehem. It doesn't matter. Even if it's Efshel Kaim Shneim, we're going to apply the principle of Esei Docha Lo Saseh. That's based on Hutra. On the other hand, if we go with Hudchu, if Esei is Docha, it's only a din of Hudach, if the Lav is Hudach, then we're obligated to try to find a way of achieving the Esei and the Kiyum HaMitzvah without violating the Lav. And that's clear from the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Vav Amud Beis in the Machlokas of Nachman Rav Sheshes regarding Tumah B'Tzibur. So that din of Reish Lakish that we have here in Menachos Daf Mem that we mentioned in the past, that if it's Efshel Kaim Shneim, that we don't apply Esei Docha Lo Saseh, that's a unique, limited din to Hutcha and doesn't apply in the case of Hutra. So in Hutra, we're much more laid back and more liberal, all-encompassing, and even if you could accomplish the Esei without violating the Lav, we'll still be Matir the Lav based on Hutra. But one thing is crystal clear. Even if we apply the logic, the principle of Hutra, we still need a Kiyum HaMitzvah. You can't be Matir an Iser Lav without a Kiyum HaMitzvah. So in the case of Tzitzis Balayla, for example, according to Rabbeinu Tam, or Talis Sheula, where there's no mitzvah at all, how could we possibly say Hutru. That Kilayim is Hutar. What would be Matir Kilayim in the case of Tzitzis at night or Tzitzis She'ula, Tal She'ula? If there's no Kiyum, there's no Mitzvah, what's going to be Matir the Lav? Very strange. And the Ravid in the Miyuchas L'Ravid on Tamid already raises this question. The Ravid, by the way, this the Rav doesn't mention, points out that in general we don't understand how Kilayim B'Tzitzis could be a basis, a source for Essay Dochalosa, if according to Rabbeinu Tam, Kilayim B'Tzitzis is Hutra. We don't apply Hutra in the general, universal case of Essay Dochalosa. Furthermore, where does Rabbeinu Tam know, how does he derive the halach of Hutra? Okay, let's get back to a shtickle Torah here that I wanted to mention in the name of the Achronim, based on the sheet of the Ri. The Ri is of the opinion that there's no chiyuv in the context of tzitzis to put on the beggar. The mitzvah of tzitzis is not generated by levisha. In fact, that's why the Ri, as quoted by the Mardechai in Hilchas Tzitzis, holds that on Shabbos, if you don't have anything but a beggar, she'ain but tzitzis, it's got four knuffles, but no tzitzis, you're allowed to wear it because there's no bittul essay in putting on the beged. Afterwards, you have a chiyuv to put on tzitzis. The chiyuv is once you're lavush, that you be lavush in a beged mitzuyatz. And on Shabbos, he applies the principle of onus rachmona patri in that case. But according to the Ri, the Achronim point out, the difficulty is, how do we understand the whole yalfusa, the derivation of Iser, of Essay Dochalosase, where's the possibility of an Essay Dochalosa if the Essay is in the matzav, in the situation of a person wearing a beged that has tzitzis on it, whereas the lav is violated with the levish itself? And therefore the only way of understanding Essay Dochalosase as it applies to Klein B'tzitzis, if you all like to read that the mitzvah of tzitzis is only engendered after he's wearing the beged, the Achronim point out is to assume that from Essay Dochalosase we're going to have to jump to the level of Hutra. And Hutra basically means that the combination of Tzemer and Pishton, of Kilayim, that's generated by Tzitzis, doesn't create an Isor Lav of Kilayim. That's Hutra. So whenever you have Tzitzis, and as a result of the Tzitzis, namely the chutei treles on a beged shel pishon, you have kilayim, the Torah was matir that kilayim. That situation of kilayim wasn't included in the iser. And that's why, even though at the moment of levisha, according to the Ri, you don't fulfill the mitzvah's essay, nevertheless, there's no lav, there's no averis halav of kilayim, because this chefza, this very entity, this very combination of tzemer and pishon does not engender a lav of kilayim. That's what we're going to have to say to explain Rabbeinu Tam if we add the Ri into this cholent. But in any event, the Rav is on a different page. He's not entering into the issue of the Ri, that the mitzvah of tzitzis is only engendered after he's wearing the beged. The Rav is always assuming that the Maisa Levisha, inherent in the Maisa Levisha, is the Chiv of tzitzis, the mitzvah of tzitzis. And the Rav now wants to know, in a case of tzitzis balayla, tzitzis she'ula, tal she'ula, how are you going to even get off the ground in applying hutra, tzolzayin hutra? It doesn't make any difference. Where's the kiyum mitzvah to be matir? And that's a fundamental question that has to be addressed. And naturally, what the Rav is going to do now is he's going to explain Rabbeinu Tam's sheet of hutra in the light of the breakthrough, the revolution that he's already presented in the two dimensions to the mitzvah of tzitzis, and Rabbeinu Tam all of a sudden emerges as a radiant shita, literally radiates tiferes, radiates light. We know that with regard to beged yom and beged laila, Rabbeinu Tam has a unique shita, and that has to be analyzed, and then we'll jump right back to hutra. According to the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, when we say that Laila is potter mitzitzis, Rabbeinu Tam says that that's a reflection on the beged. Now, there's a difference between Yom and Laila, says Rabbeinu Tam, is in terms of the koveya of the beged. There's a beged that's called a ksus Laila, and there's a beged that is called a ksus Yom. So let's take, for argument's sake, the example of pajamas, right? Pajamas are a ksus Laila. Rabbeinu Tam says that with regard to ksus Laila, this ksus is ptura even during the day. And in the flip side, the case of Iksus Yom, a regular beggar that's worn during the day, is Chayevus B'tzitzis Afalila. That's Rabbeinu Tam Shita. And this has to be understood. There are full-fledged sugyas in Shas that establish that Laila loves man tzitzis. And in fact, that's why Noshim Peturis meet tzitzis, because as the Gemara establishes in Menachos on Daf Mem Gimel Amin Aleph, Laila loves man tzitzis. So we have many, many mitzvahs where women are exempt because there's no mitzvah at night. So too in the case of tzitzis, the Gemara establishes there's no mitzvah at night. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, in effect, tzitzis does not depend upon the zman of Laila or the zman of Yom. Whether it's the zman of Yom or the zman of Laila is irrelevant to the chiv of the mitzvah of tzitzis. You could have a chiv of mitzvah tzitzis even by Laila, according to Rabbeinu Tam. And you could have a p'tur of tzitzis even in this man called Yom. This entire distinction, this halachic distinction between Yom and Laila, according to Rabbeinu Tam, only reflects on the shame beggar, the shame ksus, and its definition, its classification. Therefore, according to Rabbeinu Tam, a person could be mekayim in the midst of tzitzis always, 24/7, whether it's by Yom or by Laila. Or on the contrary, he will be exempt from his chiyuv of tzitzis. By the way, here I have the word lafkia in my text. I think it should be lipote, liftar skiyuvo. And everything depends upon the nature of the garment. So if you have a garment that's designated for daytime use, then you could be mekayim, and you're obligated to mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis even by night. So what does it mean to say Laila loves man tzitzisu? And basically, fundamentally, you'll find this question reflected in the words of Tosfos and Kedushin Lamed Daled Amud Aleph. Here's the language of the Tosfos. V'tema, heichi chashiv tzitzis mitzvah seishas mayin groma. L'man diomer tzitzis chobas talisi, kevin de kli kufsa chayom b'tzitzis, v'asam lekas mayin groma klal debein bayom bein balayla chayovim, v'afilu l'man diomer tzitzis chobas gavru kosher. T'kmo de ksus layla p'tura k'shulov shabayom, achinam ksus yom chayevis k'shulov shabalayla. So let's just summarize the Kash of Tosfos, and let's read the language of Tosfos very meticulously. Tosfos says he doesn't understand how the Gemara establishes, both in Menachos and here in Kedushin Lamed Daled, tzitzis as a mitzvah seishas man groma, based on the halach of Laila loves man tzitzis. Says Tosfos, if you hold kli kufsa chayevim b'tzitzis, that means that even without levisha, there's a mitzvah of hatolas tzitzis ala beged. If the beged has arba knofos and it lends itself to levisha, you don't even need the levisha. And therefore, says Tosfos, the mitzvah of tzitzis, according to that madiyom kli kufsa, is applicable both by day and by night. So how do you call it a zman gromadika mitzvah? And even, says Tosfos, according to madiyom tzitzis chovas gavrahu, I don't understand, says Tosfos. Uksus laila is ptura even by day. But on the flip side, if you have a ksus yom, you chayeves in tzitzis, it's chayeves in tzitzis even with a levishas laila. So there's no difference, there's no way of pinpointing or defining the mitzvah of tzitzis as a mitzvah seishas man groma with a ptur laila, because in the case of a ksus yom, you chayeves in tzitzis even by laila. But if we read the language of Tosfos with yeser diuk in great meticulous care, we'll see a big chiddush in this Tosfos, something really new. Because from the language of Tosfos, we see that as far as defining the nature of the Ptur Laila in tzitzis and how it relates to the classification of tzitzis as a mitzvah seishas man groma, it seems from Tosfos that there is a distinction between the chovas mona of kli kufsa, l'man diomer chayov b'tzitzis, and the chovas gavra dika mitzvah. According to l'man diomer chovas mona, for sure Tosfos says that there's no limit in the time for the kima mitzvah. And if you have a kli kufsa, then you chayov b'tzitzis, both bein bayom, bein balayla. It's only afterwards that Tosfos wants to say even further that even if I hold Chovas, Tzitzis Chovas Gavra, nevertheless, the halacha of Yom and Laila, insofar as it relates to the Beged and not to the moment, the actual time of the implementation of the mitzvah, it should remain a mitzvah say She'ein Hazman Groma, like Rabbeinu Tam Shita. So the Rav now, based on this meticulous reading of Tosfos, wants to suggest that the Hemshech of Tosfos, the second part of Tosfos, when he applies his question, the logic of his question to the Man Diomar Chovas Gavra, is really a continuation of the Reish of the opening part of Tosfos, where he reflects on the status of the mitzvah Tzitzis according to the Man Diomar Kli Kufsa. And therefore, the din of Rabbeinu Tam, who accepts, of course, the Man Diomar, as we do Lalocha of Tzitzis Chovas Gavra, that Ksus Yom Chayeves Belaila, that din is only applicable to the Chovas Chefta. Now, since Tosfos opened up with the Chovas Chefta, according to the Man Diomar Kli Kufsa, Tosfos in the context of Rabbeinu Tam is continuing in the same breath his point about the Chovas Chefta, the Chovas Mana, meaning the obligation that's inherent in the Talis, not the obligation that's incumbent upon the Gavra with its well-defined, limited, specific pu'ula of a mice of mitzvah, a kiyum mitzvah, and a gufo shalom through the Levisha. As far as Rabbeinu Tam is concerned, even in the position of Rabbeinu Tam, that a ksus yom chayeves polayla, all Rabbeinu Tam is talking about is the chovas mana. He's not at all addressing the Chovas Gavra. There's no question that Laila is Mufka from Tzitzis, just like Netilas Lulav is Mufka from Tzitzis, Balaila. Even if there is a possibility of generating some mitzvah Balaila, insofar as it's a Ksus Yom, but as far as the Gavra is concerned, Laila is Mufka from the Zman of the mitzvah. And therefore, from the perspective of the Chovas Mana, we're going to have to say, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the din of Yom and Laila depends upon the Ksus. Again, since we've already established that there are two dimensions to the mitzvah of Tzitzis, there's the Levisha as a Kiyum Gavra with a Maisa mitzvah of Levisha, a Maisa and a Kiyum, a mitzvah of Pulas Aguf, and we have the Kiyum of the mitzvah Klape, the Cheft itself, vis-a-vis the Chefta, vis-a-vis the garment, as a kiyum chovas mana. Then if we isolate the chovas mana, then the distinction between day and night falls apart, as Tosfos pointed out with regard to the Man Yomar who says kli kufsa chayom mitzitzis. So therefore, the difference between yom and laila couldn't apply to that dimension, namely the chovas mana, but it would have to apply by process of elimination to the chovas gavra. And with regard to the Chovas Gavra, it's very logical to assume that the difference between Yom and Laila is the difference between whether the Gavra obtains a Kiyum HaMitzvah or doesn't obtain a Kiyum HaMitzvah. In which case, Laila Lav Zman Tzitzis means that Laila is completely excluded from the Kiyum Gavra of Tzitzis. And therefore, with regard to the Chovas Mana, we're going to have to assume we're going to have to draw the logical conclusion that the difference between Yom and Laila is in the kviyas of the ksus to determine the nature of the beged. And the Rav in a footnote mentions that this itself is a machlokis between two brothers, the Mishkanis Yaakov and the Keren Ora. But be that as it may, with regard to the Chovas Gavra, which is our discussion in the context of Ase Shazman Groma, then there is a definite, limited, circumscribed Zman for the Maisa Mitzvah. That's Yom. And therefore, the Atifa during the day is an Atifa which has a Kiyum Mitzvah Tzitzis. If the Ksus generates that Kiyum, and that means it's a Ksus Yom. But the Atifa's Laila, in that very same Ksus Yom, is completely Ptura. When I say completely, I mean vis-a-vis the Chovas Gavra. Therefore, when we introduce the two elements of Yom and Laila, the distinction Yom and Laila, we always have to be very careful. If we're talking from the perspective of Chovas Gavra, then the difference between Yom and Laila is a difference in Zman Yom and Zman Laila. Meaning that Zman Yom generates a Kiyum Mitzvah HaGavra, Zman Laila is Mufka from a Kiyum Mitzvah HaGavra. But with regard to the Chovas Talis, the Halach of Yom and Laila changes from Zman Yom and Zman Laila to Ksus Yom and Ksus Laila. And therefore, Ksus Laila, even by Yom is Ptura, it would be impossible in the case of Ksus Laila to generate and gender a Chiyuv on the Gavra, incumbent on the Gavra, because the, as we've said from the very beginning of this series of Shiurim, the Machayev that engenders the Chiyuv on the Gavra is the Beged itself, the Talus itself. And if the Talus itself is defined as a Ksus Laila, then it doesn't have, it's not included in the parash of tzitzis, it's mufka, it doesn't have the power to generate a chovas gavra. So therefore we can only talk, in the context of mitzvah sagavra, we can only talk about a ksus yom. And certainly with regard to the chovas mana, we can only talk about a ksus yom. So now let's talk about a ksus yom. It's designated for daytime use. What's the status of that ksus with regard to the mitzvah, the kiyum mitzvah of tzitzis? And the answer is as follows. That insofar as we're reflecting on the chovas gavra, then that ksus, insofar as it's a ksus yom, can engender a kiyum chovas agavra by yom, but not by laila. If we're addressing, on the other hand, the mitzvah of the mana, the chovas mana, as a cheft of talis, then we can extend that chovas mana to laila itself, as long as the beged is a ksus yom. So once we established the beged as a ksus yom, now it's included in the mitzvah of tzitzis, it's machayev the mitzvah of tzitzis, both as far as the chafetz and as far as the gavra is concerned. But here there's a fundamental distinction. As far as the gavra is concerned, we have another halacha, similar to the halacha that we found in Lulav, that yom is mufka from the kiyum mitzvah sagavra. So there's no kiyum mitzvah laila. You can only have a kiyum mitzvah of the gavra during the day. But as far as the chovas mana is concerned, what we're left with is that if the ksus is indeed a ksus yom, then there is a chiyuv klapi the beged both by yom and both by laila. So when we say that Atifa engenders a chiyuv of tzitzis, and through that Atifa, the gavra is makayim tzitzis, then we're talking about yom. That's limited to yom. If, on the other hand, what we're saying is that the Atifa engenders a chiyuv in the gufa shel talis, in the ksus itself, then we're talking about a kiyum that's feasible even balayla. Why is that so? Because Laila is also a Levisha. So in order to engender a Chovas Mana in this Talis, we need Levisha. But if he wears the Beged at night, that constitutes a Levisha. Again, it doesn't constitute a Levisha as a Maisa Mitzvah vis-a-vis the Chovas Gavra, but a Maisa Levisha it is. And that Maisa Levisha clinches the Chovas Mana. And just like in the case of Kli Kufsa, which was our extreme case, if it's a Kli that's Miyuchad Liyom, and it's designated for Levishas Yom, then it's Chayav even by night, according to Shmuel, the famous Shita of Kli Kufsa. So too, with regard to our Psak Halach of Chovas Gavra, those garments that we wear at night are Chayav in Tzitzis, as long as them yuchadim liyom. So again, let's review that last point. Very important point. Just like according to Shmuel, a kli kufsa, as long as it's designated for day use, generates a chiyuv klapi the beged itself, even belaila. So too, even if I hold lididan that we pass in chovas gavra, nevertheless, if the kli is a kli ham yuchad liyom, when you wear it at night, there is a chiyuv tzitzis klapi the beged. And that's going to be extremely relevant to understand Rabbeinu Tam's halacha of kilayim b'tzitzis at night. But we're now focused on the halacha of mitzvah seishas man grama. So we want to know what's the status of a beged yom with regard to the levisha insofar as it's a kiyum chovas gavra. And here we say that laila does not engender a chovas gavra, because it's mufka from as a set time period, it's mufka from the mitzvah of tzitzis. So in other words, the levisha at night although it could engender a chefta of a beged of Levisha vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Chavos Mana, but with regard to the Chavos Gavra, the Levisha at night is not going to help me. It's not going to engender a Chavos Gavra because Lila loves Man Tzitzis. Lila is a Zman Potter, inherent in the dawn. And therefore, to sum this up, the Rav says, Ksus Yom Chayeves B'Lila Rak B'Toras Chavos Mana. Now, it occurred to me, if we stop the tape here, and Baruch Hashem, I think I was mechavi to one of the footnotes of the Rav here, but this we came to on our own, that it's logical, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the Nusach HaBracha, in the case when you wear a Ksus Yom Balayla, should reflect the fact that you're dropping the ball here on the Chovas Gavra, and all you have left is the Chovas Mana. And as we said, as we discussed at great length, the Rav's breakthrough as far as Tal's Katan is concerned, in the Kolba, the Ramah, that the Bracha shifts from Lamed Lis atef to al mitzvah tzitzis, and not only that, the bracha according to the Ramah should be recited lisha avar after he put on the beged. So too in the case of a ksus yom balayla, according to Rabbeinu Tam, where the kiyum gavra is lost, is forfeited because laila loves man tzitzis, and all you're left with is the kiyum chovas mana, that should be reflected in the nusach bracha, and it should be a bracha with an al and not a bracha with a lamed. It should be a bracha after you put on the beged, and now the cheftz of the beged generates a kiyum. That's when you should recite the bracha, because al is mashba lishaavar on the matzav, on the mitzis, on the situation of the beged being a beged mitzuyatz, and the beged mitzuyatz in the kiyum and the beged itself is the mitzvah here. And therefore, the bracha should be made on the beged mitzuyatz, which is lishavar, after you've already put on the beged. And we'll see in just a minute that the Rav goes at least part of the way we wanted to go, halfway in his footnote coming up around the bend, which I didn't see when I wrote my little note to you. But let's finish up the Rav's presentation. He says that again, if you have a ksus yom, with regard to Lila is concerned, you have a chiyuv b'taras chovas mana, but not b'taras chovas gavra. So in order for the gavra to be mekayim his two chovos, his two obligations, namely, he needs the chovas gavra and the chovas cheftza. So as far as these two obligations are concerned, we need, number one, an atifa. Okay, he's got to put on the beged. And then he needs to be metzayetz the cheftz of the beged as a chovas mana. So the atifa on a beged mitzuyatz will engender a kiyum gavra, and the asiyas hatzitzis, the atolas hatzitzis, engenders a chiyuv mana. And for both of these dimensions, we need a ksus yom, because that's halacha in the cheftz shel beged lechayev es mitzvah satzitzis. So a ksus yom balayla is chayiv in tzitzis, but not as a chiyuv gavra, as we said, but rather as a chiyuv chefta. As far as the ksus layla is concerned, even by day, the talis is a talis ptura. It's completely bumped off. It's completely undermined from the page, from the parsha of tzitzis, and therefore the gavra, it doesn't become chayev, and even with regard to the cheftas, there's no kiyum chefta. And the Rav ends this part of the presentation, we'll soon see Rabbeinu Tam in Kilayim B'tzitzis, with the following words. He says, L'cheinu no omrim, ki laila lavs man tzitzis ki halo biyachas l'mitzat tifa, I efshal l'kaima balayla, afilu b'ksus hamiyuchedes liyom. Since there's no possibility of obtaining a kiyum gavra of Levishas Tzitzis Balayla, because Balayla, Laila loves Man Tzitzis, there's no possibility of obtaining a Kiyum Gavra. That itself is sufficient to classify Tzitzis, as the Gemara does in Menachos and Kiddushin, as a Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Gro. Now here the Rav adds a footnote. The Rosh in Hilchas Tzitzis actually comes up with a case where a person puts on a talis at night, he puts it on for the first time at night, I don't mean the first time in the history of the talis, but I mean to say he's not wearing it by day. And therefore the issue of ituf betalis at night, as far as a bracha is concerned, becomes absolutely relevant. What is that case? It's the case of Yom HaKippur. Our minig Ashkenaz, is that we wear a talis kadal on Leil Yom HaKippur. And the question arises, do we recite a bracha when we put on the talis? And the Rush quotes the Ritzvah, one of the Bali HaTosfos, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, who says that you make a bracha b'shas ituf when you put on your talis on Leil Yom HaKippurim. And the Rav claims that that sheet of the Ritzvah reflects the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, that there is a kiyum of tzitzis polayla. But according to the Rav, that kiyum mitzvah tzitzis polayla in Rabbeinu Tam is only in the Cheftz, it's not in the Gavra. Says the Rav, v'nira, b'nidon zeh, in this case, tzrichim levarach al mitzvah tzitzis, v'lo lis'atef. And he says, kefishin is fire, I have no doubt that he's referring to the section of the Shia in which he addresses the case of a talis katan. The Rav doesn't add the extra piece that therefore the bracha should be recited after the ituf. Normally, we recite the bracha before the ituf. You know, we hold the talis over our heads in the air, and then we recite the bracha, and then we put the talis over our heads as an ituf, and we wrap ourselves around. That's the ituf. So it should be over lasiyasa. But in this case, where it's only a din in the chefta of the beged, then clearly the bracha should come l'sha'avar after you've done the ituf. That's point number one. You might wonder in general, according to the Ri that we've discussed in the past, that the mitzvah of tzitzis, even as a chovas gavra, is in the aftermath of the levisha. In other words, you have to put on the tzitzis after you're already lavush, but the mice levisha itself is not the mitzvah. Why do we make the bracha l'satev? And when should we make the bracha? Is it after the ituf or before? So that's no different than any mitzvah which the fulfillment of which is subsequent to the maisa, like for example makkah, and yet we make the bracha before we put up the makkah, because the din of overlasiyasin applies even prior to that action which brings about and leads to the kiyumah mitzvah. Even if the maisa, the mitzvah, the kiyumah mitzvah is not identical with the maisa, it's not inherent in the maisa, nevertheless, insofar as that maisa brings me to the kiyumah mitzvah, leads me to the kiyumah mitzvah, the halacha of overlasiyasin kicks in, and we recite the bracha preceding the maisa. I'd like to add something. I remember the Rav, either I heard it from him or in his name, he mentioned in the name of Father, of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, in the explanation of, within the framework of Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that Lila has a kiyum of tzitzis, and therefore it's matir kilayim at night. Why is tzitzis a mitzvah seishas man groma? And Rav Moshe came up with a breakthrough in defining mitzvah seishas man groma. Namely, mitzvah seishas man groma doesn't mean zman groma in the kiyum mitzvah and only in the kiyum mitzvah, meaning if the time period for the kiyum mitzvah is circumscribed, but even if there's an element of zman in the machayev mitzvah, that's sufficient to define, to establish the mitzvah as a mitzvah seishas man groma. And therefore, Rav Moshe said that even though, according to Rabbeinu Tam, a beged yom is chayev b'tzitzis b'layla, so you can obtain the mitzvah of tzitzis 24/7, that's as far as the kiyumah mitzvah is concerned, and therefore tzitzis, as far as the kiyumah mitzvah is concerned, from that perspective, it would not qualify as man groma. But there's a second halacha of mitzvah seishas man groma, which means the time element is in the machayev of the mitzvah. And here too, since the beged itself must be a ksus yom, and a ksus laila is p'turim in atzitzis, so yom and laila are factors that determine the nature of the beged as far as the mitzvah of tzitzis. That means that yom is an element in the machayev of tzitzis. Insofar as the yom defines the beged as a beged shemachayev as a gavra b'tzitzis, that itself makes it into a zman groma. The element of yom and laila vis-a-vis the machayev, that yom is machayev, laila is a poter, even though the machayev here is not in the kima mitzvah, but rather in the chovas mitzvah, in the talis, that itself is sufficient to categorize the mitzvah of tzitzis according to Rabbeinu Tam as man groma. and generate a Ptur Nasha. That's what Rav Moshe said, but according, in the light of the Rav's Chiddushia, that there are two dimensions to Tzitzit, the Chovas Gavra and the Chovas Mona, and Rabbeinu Tam never ever meant to say that at Laila you could obtain the Chovas Gavra. That means Laila Lavsman Tzitzit in the Chovas Gavra, in the Kiyuma Gavra, is identical in Tzitzit to, what shall I say, Lulav, etc. That makes it into a Mitzvah Seishas Man Groma, and therefore we don't need the answer of Rav Moshe. Now the Rav continues in light of the presentation of Rabbeinu Tam's sheet about Yom V'Laila and Laila Lavzman Tzitzis, to understand, to present the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam with regard to Kalayim. Rabbeinu Tam was machadish that Kalayim is mutter even B'Laila, even though Laila ain't as man Tzitzis. But he added that if it's a ksus hamiyuchedes L'Laila, then the Iser Kalayim applies in full force. And in light of everything we presented, says the Rav, it's absolutely logical. Everything fits in very simply. The atifa of a ksus laila does not engender any mitzvah whatsoever, even with regard to the cheftza. And therefore, it's completely, in the case of a ksus laila, it's completely excluded from the heter kalayim because there's no mitzvah element whatsoever. The chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, when he says that Kalayim is mutter even shalom bizman mitzvah, even at night, what he means to say is that Iksus Yom, if he wears it at night, is mutter b'Kalayim, and the reason for that is because since the Iksus engenders a chiv tzitzis, it's a Iksus Yom, despite the fact that the Gavra doesn't fulfill his mitzvah, nevertheless, there is a Kiyum in the Cheftza. And the Kiyum in the Cheftza itself, even though it's devoid of the Kiyum Gavra, is enough to generate the halacha of Heter Kalayim B'Tzitzis. And let's explain. We have a din of Esei Docha Lo Saseh. What that means is that you're allowed to violate a Lo Saseh in a case where the Lo Saseh and its action is identified, is identical with the action of the Aseh. The Rav says, keep in mind, the din of Esei Docha Lo Saseh does not mean that you're allowed to violate a Lo Saseh for the sake of an Esei. That's such a halacha is absolutely impossible, because an Avera is a lot more chomer, is a lot more stringent than a Bittul Esei. You know, if we had a choice between violating an Esei or violating a Lo Saseh, meaning if our two choices are to forego a Mitzvah Saseh through omission, or to commit a lo saseh, then certainly we would have to avoid the lo saseh at all costs, even if it means bittul esei, to omit the mitzvah's esei. And the Rav proves this based on the famous halacha that is brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya Kufnun Zayin, at the very beginning there, that a person has to spend all the money that he has, every last penny in the world, in order to avoid violating a lo saseh. But with regard to fulfilling of a mitzvah, the price tag for that is a chomesh. That's the ceiling. You don't spend more than 20% of your assets for the sake of a kiyum mitzvah. It means that a lo saseh is worse than a kiyum esei. And I would add in parentheses that the Balatanya has a very graphic presentation of this in the Sefer Tanya. But what is the halacha of Esei Docha Losa? Again, it's not that for the sake of an essay we'll violate a losa. That's not what it means. But rather, it's a question of how to define a pu'ula, an action. When this pu'ula is on the one hand an avera, maisa avera, and on the other hand, it's also at the same time a chefta shel maisa mitzvah, then we koveya that pu'ula as a pu'ula's mitzvah. And the entire status of the pu'ula as an avera is completely vitiated, it's null and void. In parentheses, I would add that I'm reminded by sheer association to a parallel svara, I think it's Rabbi Chanan's svara, in explaining the halacha according to that man diomar, that davar sheinu miskaven is mutter. So, for example, you're dragging a very heavy kisei, a very heavy chair through your backyard and it's making furrows in the ground, which is a malach of Harisha on Shabbos, but you have no kavana for the Harisha to make the furrows, you're interested in transporting the kisei from place X to place Y. Happens to be that you're taking it over the soft ground and now you're making furrows, which is Harisha. You're improving the land. So according to Rabbi Shimon, Dovr Sheinu Miskaved is mutter. And Rabbi Chanan explains that since there are two definitions of this pu'ula, on the one hand it's a pu'ula of Greiras Kisei, on the other hand it's a pu'ula of Harisha, your kavana will determine the nature of that pu'ula. So that's halacha where you have a kvius in a pu'ula, where the pu'ula can be dragged in two different directions and you determine its nature and its definition by a certain factor, in this case by kavana, according to Reb Shimon. And getting back to the case of Essay Dochalosa, by the fact that the essay, this pu'ula inherently is a mitzvah sase, it cannot be defined as a mitzvah losa. However, the Rav points out that if you could imagine a mitzvah that has no maisa mitzvah, in other words, the pu'ula cannot be the nature of the pu'ula cannot be defined as a mitzvah, because the mitzvah in this case is fulfilled me'eleha, automatically, without a maisa, then the avera is a full-fledged pu'ulas avera, well-defined, with its own chal Hashem, and there's no docha. What could be docha? If the kiyum mitzvah is me'elov, automatically, without a definite action, so then what could determine that this action of an avera is defined and given the status of an action of a mitzvah? There is no action of a mitzvah. And therefore, what you're left with is the isur that's inherent in the pu'ula itself, and there's nothing to undermine that avera. So therefore, the only possibility of esse do chalosase is when we have a chalos pu'ulas mitzvah, which is the root and the essence of the mitzvah. For example, you have achilas matzah, or you have the tilus lulav. So you might suggest, for example, that achilas matzah and a matzah shel tevel, we could apply the principle of esse do chalosas and define that achila not as an achilas aver of tevel, but an achilas mitzvah of matzah. But if the pu'ulas mitzvah is completely gone, if the mitzvah is bereft of any pu'ulas mitzvah, and all you have is a kiyum me'elov, as we said before, the ma'isa aver remains in its status. Okay, and the Rav here is unusually verbose here. He repeats this svara over and over again, until he finally concludes that if there's no identity between the pu'ulas mitzvah and the ma'isa avera, then there's no possibility of saying esse do chalosase. So therefore, let's take a case where the gavra in his action creates a chefta shel mitzvah. Let's say, for example, we spoke about putting up a makeh. So we say that when you surround your roof with a fence, what you're doing is you're creating a chefta shel mitzvah. The bias now is equipped with a makeh. Or let's take, for example, the case of tzitzis. If all you do in the case of tzitzis, through your levisha, is create a chefta shel mitzvah, then there's no agent here to be docha the aver of kelayim. So therefore, let's take the case of a ksus yom. There, if you wear that ksus by day, then you have a well-defined maisa mitzvah. The atif itself is a pulas mitzvah, and at the same time, it's a pulas aver so far as this kelayim here. For example, in Tcheles in Pishtan. In that case, we certainly can apply the principle of esse do chalosase and define the atifa as a ma'isa mitzvah, and it's completely mufka, it's completely excluded from being defined as a ma'isa aver of kelayim. However, let's say you take this ksus yom and you wear it balayla, where we said the levisha itself is not defined as a pulis mitzvah, there's no kiyum in the gavra of talis chovas gavrahu, but rather all you have is the kiyum the mela in the fact that the chefta of the beged is mitzuyats, so the atifa does nothing more than to engender the shame ksus as far as tzitzis is concerned. But it's not a ma'isa mitzvah with a kiyuma mitzvah, that all you're left with is a levisha as a ma'isa of iser kelayin, of a levisha's kelayin. So again, the atifa itself is completely devoid of the status of a Maisa Mitzvah. So what you're left with is a Maisa Levisha defined as a Maisa Avera of Levisha's Kelayim. So therefore, if we're going to apply the principle of Esei Dochalosas in the case of Iksus Yom Balayla, it would be impossible to permit Kelayim because there's no Maisa Mitzvah that could define that action as such and remove the status of a Maisa Avera. However, Rabbeinu Tam makes a jump here and he introduces the concept of Hutru, not Doche, but Matir. If Kelayim is a Matir, then we don't need a Pa'ulas Mitzvah, which in itself is identical with the Maisa Avera to apply the din of Dechuya. The Heter, rather, is independent and even without the Kiyuma Mitzvah, but rather in the Chal Shem Chefza Shal Mitzvah. In other words, the Chal Shem Chefza Shal Mitzvah is excluded from being a Chal Shem Chefza Shal Avera. So in other words, if I point to this Beged, it's Ksus Yom Balayla, of Tzitzis, Tzemer, of Tcheles B'Pishtan, and I want to define it as Kilayim, the Halach of Hutra tells me, says Rabbeinu Tam, it steps in and tells me that this Beged is Mufka from being a Chefza Shal Kilayim. There's no Pula Samit to the Gavra to be Matir, to be Doche, but there's a Chal Shem Tzitzis in the Beged, in the Chefts of the Beged, that itself is being Matir. And the Rav's choice of phrase here is very telling. He calls it a Chal Shem Chefts Shal Mitzvah. It's a Chal Shem Chefts Shal Mitzvah, presumably because tomorrow, after daybreak, if I wear this Beged, I obtain a Mitzvah. And that makes it a Chal Shem Chefts Shal Mitzvah. That's what I think he means. And the reason I think he means that is because he compares this to the Ravid Shita in the 10th Perek of Kelayim with regard to Big Day Kahuna, which are Kelayim, and the Ravid says that a Kohen who wears Big Day Kahuna Shalobashas Avoda, even though he doesn't have a Kiyuma Mitzvah, nevertheless, there's no Issa Kelayim. And that's the Hutra concept of Kelayim with regard to Big Day Kahuna. Obviously, the Rav is saying that Big Day Kelayim as a Chefta has a Chal Shem Chefza Shal Mitzvah. Now, it's Shalom Shas Avoda. Why do you define the Big Day Kuna as a Chefza Shal Mitzvah? So perhaps what the Rav has in mind is that later on, or the next day, whenever it is, the Kohen will do the Avoda, perform the Avoda while he's wearing the Big Day Kuna. That sets up the Chefza Shal Mitzvah even when the Kohen is not actively involved in Avoda. And by parallel, I think by comparison, the Rav is saying that in the case of Ksus Yom Balayla, even though the Gavra cannot obtain his Kiyum Chovas Gavra, Mitzvah Gavra at night, but the Beged is still defined and doesn't lose its status as a Chefza Shal Mitzvah because insofar as tomorrow, with daybreak, he will obtain through the Levisha of this very same Beged a Kiyum Mitzvah of Tzitzis. That's what I thought until the Rav in the next line introduces an entirely different terminology. He says that with regard to Ksus Yom Balayla in Rabbeinu Tam's frame of reference, calls Machiesh Kiyum Bachefta. In other words, he doesn't call it a Chalos Chefta Shal Mitzvah, but he has a Kiyum Bachefta. He can't call it a Kiyum Bagavra because Laila loves Matzitzis as far as the Kiyum Gavra is concerned. But there's a Kiyum inherent in the Chefta because the Gavra wears the Beged, it's got Tzitzis on it. That's a kiyum in the Chefza Shal Beged. And as we saw earlier, you can make a brach on that kiyum, albeit not with a lamed lusate, but with an al. He says, afal pisha notul, even though this kiyum in the Chefza at night is notul pu'ula, it doesn't have a pu'ula's mitzvah, nevertheless, the chal shei matir of tzitzis is chal, not the doche, but the matir. And the reason for this is because the kiyum mitzvah tzitzis in the Chefza. Now here the Rav is using a different language. And I think if you go with the Kiyum Mitzvah B'Chefza, you have to drop the comparison to Big Day Kahuna in the Ravid's frame of reference, because there, I don't know if there's a Kiyum Chefza inherent in the Beged Shel Kelayim. I mean, I don't know who's obligated to set up a Chefza Shel Big Day Kahuna. I would say that there's a Kiyum Levisha B'Shas Havoda in Kelayim, in Big Day Kahuna. I don't know if we can recognize and admit any sort of Kiyum B'Chefza. So there the Rav is correct in that comparison in utilizing the terminology, employing the terminology of Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, based on the potential for the Kiyum Gavra later on. But here he uses the term Kiyum B'Cheftza. Now, at the end of this paragraph, the Rav says, Masha Einkein, with regard to a Ksus Laila, that means a beggar that's designated for Ksus Laila, Ein Hi Mahava Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. You cannot call Ksus Laila a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah because it's completely excluded from the parish of Tzitzis. The Mitzvah of Tzitzis doesn't apply and never will apply as long as the status of this beged is one of a Ksus Laila. And therefore, if it's not a, it doesn't have a Kiyum Cheftza, it doesn't have a Chalashem Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, and therefore there's no Matir of Kalayim. So all Rabbeinu Tam meant was with regard to Kalayim B'Tzitzis being Mutter Laila is within the context of a Ksus Yom that has a Kiyum Cheftza Shel Tzitzis B'Laila, has a Chalashem Cheftza Shel Laila, but clearly a Ksus Laila is out of the ballpark. Now I thought, this is my own addition, that in the light of the Rav's presentation we could answer the kasha of the Shagasari. The Shagasari wants to know, how does Esei Docha Losas apply to Tzitzis in the Lav Kelayim, when, given the Rishita that we discussed before, and the Mordechai quotes it in Hilchos Tzitzis, that the mitzvah of the Kiyum mitzvah of the essay of Tzitzis is only after the Levisha. And we have a principle that you can only apply essay dochalosa be'idna if at the moment of the essay you violate the lav. Or let's say it the other way, if at the moment of the violation of the lav you obtain a Kiyum mitzvah. Which is very similar to what the Rav was saying, that you have to identify the action as both an essay and a losas in order to generate the apply the principle of essay docholosas. So if we assume, like the Ri and Tosus, that the essay of Tzitzis is only obtained following the Levisha, subsequent to Levisha, then there's no Be'idna here, because you've already violated the Lav at the moment of Levisha, you don't obtain the essay until after the Levisha, it's not Be'idna. That was the Shagasari's question. But according to the Rav, I don't think that the Shagasari's question gets off the ground. Because there's definitely a Chal Hashem Cheftza Shel Mitzvah at the time of the Levisha. The Levisha generates, engenders a Chovas Cheftza in the Beged itself. And the Kiyum Cheftza Shel Talis applies at the moment of the Levisha. It could be that the Kiyum Gavra is only obtained subsequent to the Levisha. And that's the Ri's point. But at the time of the Levisha, you have a Cheftza Shel Beged Mitzuyatz, and that Levisha itself inherently engenders a Kiyum in the Cheftza. Once you have the Kiyum in the Cheftza, then we can apply the principle of Rabbeinu Tam of Hutra, that once there's a Kiyum Cheftza or a Chal Hashem Cheftza Shel Mitzvah in the Beged, that Cheftza Shel Beged is Mufka, cannot be at the same time a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah and a Cheftza Shel Issa Kalayim. Those two can't coexist at the same moment. The Ri is still correct that I would be permitted to wear this Beged of Dalet Kanfis without Tzitzis on Shabbos, because the act of Levisha is not a Bittul Essay. The Essay only pounces upon me, only activated subsequent to the Levisha, and at that time I could apply the principle of Onus Rachmana Patre. So you'll ask me, but what about the Kiyum Cheftz according to the Rav? There's already a Kiyum Cheftz, as we said, at the time of the Levisha. Yeah, the answer is that mitzvah of the Cheftz of the Beged, even if it is chal at the moment of Levisha, nevertheless, the mitzvah is not fulfilled through the Maisa Levisha. So the act of Levisha could never be defined as a Levisha Asura, as an act of Bittul Essay that should generate a prohibition on Shabbos. We're going to try in the few minutes that remain to present the punchline of the next paragraph in the Rav. The Rav wants to say that now we can begin to understand the halacha of Talis She'ula, the halacha of Hutra of Rabbeinu Tam with regard to Kelayim in a Talis She'ula. But first we have to ask the following question, says the Rav. We have a question on Tosus with regard to a bracha. On a Talis She'ula, is there a possibility of reciting a bracha? So certainly, the only person who could obtain a kiyum mitzvah shebegufo in terms of chovas gavra through this atifa of a talis in this case is only the bailin, only he who owns the talis, because bailus is a precondition in the chovas gavra, the pulis levisha. So he's the only one who could obtain it, and therefore anyone else on the face of the earth, even if he borrows this talis kedasu kedin, he doesn't have the possibility of obtaining a kiyum mitzvah tzitzis in the levish itself, and therefore I would say that you cannot make a bracha on this levisha, just like you cannot make a bracha on someone else's lulav on the first day of Sukkot lachem, even though he lent you the lulav. But if we're coming to discuss the chovas mana in the chefta of the beged, that the Heft of the Beged has to be Mitzuyot at the time of Levisha, here the Rav says we might raise a question, an issue, even with regard to a Tal Sheul. And that is, could it be possible, says the Rav, that this Levisha of the person who's the Shoel, right, the Shoel, the Levisha, the Shoel, not the Levisha, the Bailin, has at least the ability to engender the nature of this beged and a status such that it is a beged that requires tzitzis as far as the chovas mana is concerned, because there is a levisha to engender that chovas mana. And here's the Rav's suffix. Let's formulate the two studim in the Rav's chakira. The first side is to say that the halacha was formulated in the chalashem beged at the time of Levisha, and any Levisha is sufficient. Whether or not this Levisha engenders a Chovas Atifa and a Chovas Gavra with a Mitzvah Shebegufo is irrelevant. As long as there is a Levisha, that Levisha engenders in this Beged a Chovas Mana, because the Chalashem Beged is a Beged of Levisha. Or, says the Rav in his second side of his Chakira, that since this Levisha does not qualify as a Levisha that engenders a Chovas Gavra, because it's not the Bailim who's wearing the Beged, but rather the Shoel, such a Levisha, insofar as it's Mufka from a Chal Shem Gavra, a Chovas Gavra, is not even a Levisha to engender a Chiyuv in the Beged itself. And this is what the Rav is vacillating on. In other words, to read the Rav's language, Kitiskaim Levisha Hamatbia ala Malbush Shem Beged Linyin Chovas Tzitzis. Perhaps on the one hand we could argue, we could understand and analyze that the Levisha of the Shoel is sufficient to be Matbia, that means to engender an imprint and define the nature of this Malbush as a Beged as far as Chovas Tzitzis is concerned, and therefore the Lovesh Tal Sheula, even though he himself as a Gavra does not pick up the chovas tzitzis, nevertheless the chefta itself becomes a chefta of a talis that's chayevas b'tzitzis. Again, he himself, the shoel, is not obligated to be matil tzitzis in this beged. It's not ksuscha, and that's as far as the chiva gavra, and even as far as the chovas mana, in so far as the gavra has to be mitzayetz the beged. Only the bailim on the chuyav litzayetz the beged, except that's true even according to Shmuel, who holds klikufsa chayav mitzitzis. However, if you want to engender chal shem chefta sheyeshbo kiyum tzitzis, or at least a chefta, we'll call it a chal shem chefta shal mitzvah, then even if a shoel is the one who wears, he dons this beged, through his levisha, the beged itself becomes a chefta of a talis mitzuyots. It's a chalashem cheftishal mitzvah. And therefore the Rav assumes that possibility, in this possibility, that a bracha could be recited, not a bracha of lisate, but a bracha of al mitzvah tzitzis, on the very fact that you've created, through your levisha, through the shoel's levisha, a chefta, chalashem cheftishal tzitzis. And it would be identical to the case of talis katan. So the bracha here in a tal sheula would be identical to the bracha of a tal katan. In both cases, you obtain the mitzvah and you mivarcha the mitzvah of asiyas chefta shel tzitzis. Now again, there's a fundamental difference. Let's not forget about the fundamental difference in the case of Levishas Beged of a Talis Katan. Certainly, that engenders a mitzvah of tzitzis, if not on the Beged itself, because it's not royally ituf, it's too small for that, but at least in terms of the Chovas Mana, there's an absolute obligation to supply this Talis Katan with tzitzis. And through his Levisha, he becomes chayav in that, and he has a kiyuma mitzvah, albeit in the Chovas Mana, in the Chevet Shel Talis, and that's his bracha. In the case of Tal She'ula, the Lovesh, the Shoel, has no mitzvah tzitzis at all, even as far as the Chovas Mana. But nevertheless, since his Levisha engenders, it generates a Chal Shem Talis, a Chevet Shel mitzvah in the Talis itself, then there's a Maisa mitzvah here with a kiyum tzitzis in the Chevet Shel Talis, which it justifies a bracha according to this tzad. It's sort of like the case of a woman who is not obligated to mitzvah, but she volunteers for a mitzvah. So since there's a Chal Shem Chevet Shel mitzvah in this talis by virtue of the Shoel's Levisha, although the Shoel is not obligated at all, not even a threat of obligation, but he does have what we call a mitzvah kiyumis, and he obtains a kiyuma mitzvah. On that kiyuma mitzvah, he can make a bracha, no less than an isha can make a bracha on wearing tzitzis, insofar as she has a kiyuma mitzvah without a chovas gavra. And the Rav wants to say that in this logic, according to this tzad, we can explain the case of beged yom, of a beged shaul regarding kelayim. Again, if we were to employ and activate the principle of esei dochalosaseh, we would need some sort of kiyum agavra in this pu'ula in order to convert the pu'ula into pu'ulas mitzvah and undermine the status of the pu'ula to pu'ulas avera, and that we can't do, for sure not, in the case of a tal shaula. There's no way we can define the pu'ula as a pu'ulas mitzvah. But now that according to Rav Eitam we've introduced the halacha of kelayim betzitzis hutru, now we don't need the ma'isa mitzvah, as we said. All we need is a chal shem cheftishal mitzvah in the talis itself. And that's sufficient to be mafkia the isa kelayim. That chalos applies even to a talis she'ula. Even though the lovesh, the shoel in this case, is not mischayev to put tzitzis on this talis, but nevertheless, since he obtains such a mitzvah by engendering the status of this talis as a talis mitzuyetzes, that itself makes it into a cheftshal mitzvah, and despite the ptur gavra, the status of the cheft as a cheftshal mitzvah is enough to apply the principle of hutru with regard to kelayim. So we can summarize now and say that according to the Rav's presentation, both in the case of talis balayla, again, a ksus yom balayla, and in the case of a talis she'ula, there is a new halacha which Rabbeinu Tam establishes here of kelayim hutru, and that in both these cases is a result of the chal shem cheftishal mitzvah in the beged shel kelayim. We'll continue next.